Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecoventry.ca. Lost Canadians are people who were born in Canada but who have lost their citizenship. There are more than a million Canadians, and they include children of Canadian women who married American citizens, First Nations adults whose parents refused to send them to residential schools, as well as Canada's war dead who fought in the First and Second World Wars. There are some notable Canadians, too, Nobel Prize recipients, Hollywood stars, and notable singers. A new book looks at the campaign to have their status returned. It's written by a lost Canadian, Don Chapman. He was born in Vancouver, and he joins me now. I'll get him to tell us his story about how he lost his citizenship and his path to regaining it. I've started the book, and the book teems of the frustration that he and many advocates felt with regards to the roadblocks posed by the various legislation in place, the media unwilling to cover this story, and the politicians who were unmoved to act. Don Chapman is a United Airlines pilot, currently on leave, and he has spoken out on the issue of Canadian citizenship rights for many years, including with major media and Senate hearings. The website for more is at lostcanadian.com. The book is published by Pugwash Press. It's called The Lost Canadians, A Struggle for Citizenship Rights, Equality, and Identity. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program in Vancouver today, Don Chapman. Mr. Chapman, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. The one thing I might change on everything you said is it's not just people born in Canada. It covers the entire spectrum of people. As long as you have citizenship or think you're a Canadian, or maybe even think you have the right of citizenship, you are at risk.
So that includes, I guess, children of, say, Canadians, and they were born outside of the country.
Well, let's take one.
Yeah.
In the book, I give the example of the Curry family, and both were military children born on Canadian military bases overseas, and Mike Curry has gone on to do three tours of duty in Afghanistan, and now the government's saying you haven't shown enough substantial connection to the country to prove that you can pass citizenship on to your child.
Now, we'll talk about your experience, and then, of course, the experience of others that you talk about in this book, those that make up Lost Canadians. But in terms of these recent changes that we've seen with the Harper government and in the last number of years since the Harper government's been in office, with regards to mandates in terms of how long one has to stay in the country, otherwise they lose their citizenship, what do you make of all of that?
That's an immigration issue, which is quite separate to the citizenship portfolio. That is deciding who gets to stay and who doesn't, who qualifies for citizenship. Ours is completely separate. Ours is strictly a citizenship issue. And what's amazing is a lot of us, like me included, I was born in Canada. I was born a Canadian citizen, but to get my citizenship restored, I had to go through the immigration process. So Canada seems very good at turning citizens into immigrants and then maybe back into citizens.
And then the contemporary issue that we're dealing with in Vancouver with regards to real estate, we're seeing people coming to this country as investors and then them getting their citizenship quickly.
Yes, which is not true with lost Canadians. So, for example, my situation. Under the old laws, what Canada had, and I'm talking about up through about a week and a half ago, were the laws that said, and this is the exact quote, married women, minors, lunatics, and idiots will be classified under the same disability for their national status. Married women were property of their husbands, children property of the fathers if born in wedlock, and property of the mothers if born out of wedlock. So in my situation, two Canadian-born parents, born to Canadian parents, which were born to Canadian parents. I mean, I go way back in Canada. But when I was six, we moved from Vancouver to Seattle, and my father took out U.S. citizenship. For that sin of having a father that did that, Canada ripped up my citizenship, and Canada was particularly adept at rendering its own children stateless. And it turns out there were 85,000 children like me. Now, what was interesting was I ended up getting citizenship in the United States, but I never vowed citizenship to them. So I became a pilot. Pilots are inquisitive. We want to know why a plane crashed. I wanted to know why I couldn't be a citizen of my own country. So it turns out, as I went on this kind of accident investigation, because I wrote the book through the lens of a pilot, I discovered 12 ways to be stripped of citizenship, and they're just crazy ways and anomalies in law, things that have been on the books for over a century at times, still being enforced against people, so that even icons like Romeo Dallaire were stripped of his, was stripped of his citizenship. And it turned out, as I say, 12 separate and distinct ways, and we've restored citizenship to about 1 million people. The latest was Bill C-24, but while these people are now Canadian citizens, they have no rights. So that's a whole other ballgame. Just because you're a citizen doesn't mean you have any rights in this country. So they are citizens but can't vote, can't get a passport, a driver's license. They might not even be able to live in Canada. It's not until they have the certificate of Canadian citizenship, which could take 2 to 5 years, and that's very difficult for a guy like Guy Valliere. Guy was born in Montreal. He's a World War II veteran, but his sin is he was born to an American father and Canadian mother, pre-1947. So, yes, he's a Canadian under the new law, finally, but he doesn't have any rights. So this battle continues, and the Citizenship Act in Canada is so convoluted, so wacky, that no one exactly knows who is or is not a citizen. Even our elected representatives don't know. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to engage Canadians to demand better, and I'm trying to get the parliamentarians to finally one day introduce a new Citizenship Act that's very clear and concise and actually follows the Charter and the rule of law.
So what happened then, Don? Were the laws written incorrectly? Were they,
yes,
say, passed too quickly, that they didn't pass, say, the rigor of examination by the MPs themselves?
The MPs are clueless. You've never really heard Justin Trudeau speak out. You've not heard Thomas Mulcair speak out. Stephen Harper has not spoken out. His group, the Conservatives, which are kind of controlling this issue, they totally don't know what a citizen is or is not. I mean, they've been elected to represent them, but they don't know. So it's all the parties are very, very guilty of not knowing. And the laws are so convoluted that if you actually tried to read the Citizenship Act, it would just be a convoluted maze. You really don't know. And that is something that is really wrong. The idea of belonging, of who are we on Canada Day? Well, the very first thing is we should be citizens. And as a citizen, it should be very clear as to who is and who is not. But that is not the way it is in Canada. And so it gets so confusing. Women have less rights than men. Immigrants now have more rights as Canadian citizens than Canadian-born Canadian citizens.
Yeah.
It is just a maze. And if a person reads my book, they will discover that what it was like, more than just citizenship, what's it like to really take on the federal government? What's it like to go to Ottawa and you discover that your MPs don't have a clue at what they're doing? And they're constantly playing musical chairs in portfolios, so just as they might, get spooled up into a portfolio, they're replaced. The level of incompetence is incredible, but it goes further. They don't care.
Yeah.
And as a pilot, if I make a mistake flying a plane, I crash and die with my passengers. As a politician, they're just assigned a new portfolio. And then another trait of a pilot is that if I did ditch an airplane in the Hudson River, I'd die trying to rescue everybody. But it doesn't seem to be that way in Canada. We piecemeal this thing. It makes no sense. And yet, the politicians just don't seem to care. And massive lawsuits have been put in, huge sums of money. The government's now saying, and we're in court right now where the government's saying, that none of our war dead were ever Canadian citizens from World War I and World War II. Their Canadian taxpayers are spending millions of dollars booting out our war dead.
Well, what's the rationale behind that?
I think the rationale originally was that when soldiers go off to war, like in World War I and World War II, tons and tons of children are born. People like Eric Clapton, who just got his citizenship, And the government didn't want them. You could go die for your country, but don't leave a financial liability of a wife and a child. And so all the war brides and their children, 67,000 of them, were put on trial in Vancouver in 2006 to be booted out of Canada. Now, another factor that I find interesting is that as a private individual, and these are private people like myself, we're just a handful of people that changed all these laws, but we wanted to engage the media. Mm-hmm. And there was another roadblock. I mean, in 2006 in Vancouver, when we had 67,000 war brides and their children on trial to be booted out of Canada, the Canadian press didn't do one story on it. But Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton commanded 345 stories. Something has gone very wrong. And you see that all over the world, whatever country, Syria, Libya, any country that doesn't put their people first, you know, gets into trouble eventually. Canada, it's time to put their people first. And we just quite haven't gotten there yet. But the Canadians love to brag about being the peace, order, good government, fairness, compassion, and human rights country. And really, we have a ways to go before we get there.
So you did. You touched on the media's role in all of this, and you articulate that in the book. There's some people in the press who you mentioned who weren't terribly helpful, people like Kathy Tomlinson, who was at the CBC, Stephen Smart, Rafe Mayer, Pamela Martin even. Why do you think they weren't so helpful?
First off, I don't think they believed it. Mm. In a way, I think Canadians have been drinking their own bathwater, in a way, that they've been taught that they're so good in these human rights. That the immediate reaction of a Canadian when I would say I was stripped of my citizenship was opposite to somebody in the United States. In the U.S., they would look and say, what has the government done to you? But in Canada, they would look at you and say, what have you done to deserve this? And so the burden was on me, and I kind of think that they just didn't care. They didn't believe it. And that was reflected very much throughout the media. And another thing, they kept looking at me and saying, well, you only want your citizenship because, you know, you want our benefits, which was so untrue. I didn't need their benefits. I had a medical plan that was far superior to what they had in Canada at the time. I didn't need that. I just wanted my identity. I'm 10th generation Canadian. I wanted to be Canadian. And then when I discovered all these other people, particularly the military folks, 110,000 children born on Canadian military bases, when I discovered all the anomalies in the law, I just wasn't very good at saying, well, thanks, I've got mine, I'll see you later. I wanted to correct it. And very, very much the Lost Canadian issue was a women's rights issue. We all know about the famous five women. Mm-hmm. And in 1929, Emily Murphy and the other four won the right for women to be considered as a person in Canada. They could be a senator. They could be a judge. What they did not win, and they didn't win till about 2 weeks ago, was the rights of their children in citizenship law. Men could pass citizenship on with far more rights than the women. So our issue was really about women's rights. And here it was, everybody believing that under Section 15 of the Charter that we had equal rights, but the one law in Canada, the one huge law in Canada, the one that binds us all together, the glue was citizenship law, and it is still not yet charter compliant. And where are we? I think we're 33 years past the implementation of the charter. Mm-hmm. Something's gone wrong.
And so where do you see hope? I mean, you're a citizen now. I mean, can you vote in October?
I can vote. Yes, I can. But then there are a lot of Canadians right now that can't vote because they can't prove it. And it shouldn't be that Australia can process their citizens with a citizenship certificate in 10 days to 2 weeks, but Canada could take 2 years to 5 years. So I am fighting for those rights. The other thing is that we have a lot of people that have been living in Canada all their lives. They were legal here. They had passports. And then all of a sudden they go to collect their old age pension, and Canada says, well, actually, your birth certificate doesn't count anymore. or you were a home child. There were 100,000 home children from Europe in World War I and World War II, so you're not really Canadian. Get out of our country. Those are wrong. So where am I going? I'm trying eventually to get Canada to adopt a brand new charter-compliant, mint-fresh Canadian Citizenship Act that is a product of today's values, not yesterday's, because 2 weeks ago, well, even now, you can be denied all your benefits in Canada because you were born in wedlock, born out of wedlock, the wrong gendered parent, or even race.
Yeah. So where do you see hope with regards to the three major parties? I mean, or are they pretty much the same? I mean,
you know, the Liberals created the myth that the Canadian Citizenship Act came into play in January 1st of 1947. That's a lie. And citizenship came into Canada with Confederation in 1867. But that lie was to cover up the ills of what they had done to the Chinese. So if we do not correct that and capture our war dead, then the Chinese who fought for Canada, like Quan Lui or Fred Ho or whatever, and died, will forever be remembered as nothing but stateless registered aliens. So we have to capture these people. We have to bring citizenship so it conforms with the rule of law, specifically so it's crystal clear. We should not be doing all these court cases where the government, Stephen Harper's government, has not only created all kinds of levels and tiers of citizenship, but we have to make it so there's one Canadian, and we need a citizenship ombudsman so that it's very, very clear. But Stephen Harper has gone so far in our lawsuit that's going on right now as to say that citizenship in Canada is nothing but a legislated privilege. Well, now, wait a minute. A politician shouldn't be deciding what that privilege is. I mean, what if the Tea Party could say to Obama, we don't think you're a U.S. citizen. They do it in a heartbeat. Well, we can't set ourselves up in Canada to allow that. We have to make sure that citizenship is a constitutional right. We are way, way too complacent in Canada. And I think this book will open up an awful lot of eyes. I mean, just 4 weeks ago, we got a First Nations man his citizenship. He's been 60 years in Canada, stateless. Mm-hmm. In 2007, the Human Rights Magazine from the United Nations Refugees highlighted Canada as one of the largest, biggest countries offending or in of making their own people stateless, comparing Canada's track record to Zimbabwe, Cambodia, Vietnam, and Bangladesh. We have to do better in Canada, and as Canadians, we can do better, but we won't get there unless people know what's going on and demand it from their politicians. I mean, no one would ever get on an airplane, ever, with a pilot who was like most of our politicians that we send to Ottawa.
Well, what will fascinate people, I'm sure, listening to us, and will be this idea. I mean, you didn't apply to get your citizenship because you wanted to get on the healthcare system, as you said. But it'll be interesting for people to know how you viewed Canada, and why you wanted the citizenship so much. I mean, and how much a part of Canada is in your identity.
You know what? It's very interesting. People have asked that. And it's kind of like getting married. When you get married, you hopefully have inherited a wonderful set of in-laws, and you become part of their family. You don't give up your family. Hopefully you have both. Canada is the DNA. I mean, it is. Why do you think the governor generals, let's say Michelle Jean, had water simbies and conch shells in her shield? Or you go to Adrienne Clarkson and she had tigers. I mean, you cannot get rid of who you are. It is just the First Nations people get that totally. You are a part of your land. This is where my roots are. As a salmon, this is where I come upstream. So it was very important to me. And by the way, I got my citizenship. It took me 47 years I had to do it as an immigrant. Mm-hmm. I got it in 2009, and I'm still not on the Canadian medical. And that's not because the government is denying me on that. It's by choice. I haven't done it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody was trying to say I was getting it for benefits, well, I haven't gotten any yet.
Yeah. And I guess Canada Day, which is in about a day or so, I mean, that means a lot to you, doesn't it?
Yes, but in a different way. It's like Remembrance Day. In
yeah.
a way, it's a hurtful day, because as we all gather, and it's kind of a government dance card with the media, where they love to portray all these new immigrants getting their citizenship, I look at it and say, hey, wait a minute. Yeah, it's great to have immigrants. I'm not... This has nothing to do with immigration. But why not take care of your own people? We have thousands and thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people who are still not afforded their rights as Canadian citizens, and you're out partying and celebrating new people, but you have, you know, your own elders, if you will, being denied. That's just not right. And in Remembrance Day, I've been to those graveyards in Dieppe and so forth, and I've looked down, and I don't think they died so that their children or their family members could be rejected and booted out of Canada. And Chungtsen Leong, who is a conservative member of parliament sitting on the citizenship committee, when I went to Ottawa, I looked at him and I said, are the war dead and the person buried in the tomb of the unknown soldier, were they Canadian citizens? And he looked at me and said, I really don't know. Well, he's on the citizenship committee. It's his job to know. I mean, it would be like you asking me, you're a pilot, how are we getting to Hawaii? And I go, I don't know. I mean, it's craziness. It's lunacy. But all of this is wrapped up in my book, and I'm hoping to change Canada for the better. I'm hoping to engage Canadians rather than having them. All this battle was almost when I'd say, well, I lost my citizenship. And again, they'd go, kind of, you knew that they were thinking of what have you done.
Yeah.
But in a way, they almost disengaged to the point where they'd say, well, that's your problem. I'm a Canadian. I have no problem. And I'd quietly underneath, I'd be thinking, but you don't know the laws. And the laws are so wacky that we can't allow politicians to indiscriminately decide who is or who is not a citizen. So this is actually a really big deal. And if you're going to run a major G8 country, well, let's define it, who we are, let's get our values in order, and let's protect our own people. That's why a government exists, to protect their people and to make life better for their people, not to boot them out.
You know what it kind of says to me, Don, is that those people that have you know, haven't taken to your message or don't give a damn, say, it means that their citizenship doesn't mean anything to them to begin with.
Well, yeah, I kind of looked at that because I thought of myself when I got my citizenship. I actually qualified for it back in 2005.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't take it because, again, the pilot should be the last person off the airplane. I'm certainly not the captain of the Costa Concordia. So I looked at it, and I thought to myself, what kind of a Canadian am I? If I get mine, say, thank you very much, see ya.
Uh-huh.
Just didn't settle. And so what a neat thing it was to be able to help change the law and make Canada better, but we can make Canada even better than that. And almost everybody in Hollywood is a lost Canadian.
Mm.
I mean, this last law brings in Art Linkletter and Shirley MacLaine, Warren Beatty, Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton, Gene Hackman, Raymond Burr. The list just goes on and on, and that's just from the recent stuff. If you go prior to that, it's everybody from Keanu Reeves and Kiefer Sutherland, Matthew Perry, Oliver Platt. Even Wayne Gretzky's kids and Don Cherry's kids, the quintessential supposedly Canadians, they were affected. And if they're affected and didn't realize it, then what about the average Canadian? These tentacles of CIC's unacceptance actually goes out to every Canadian, and in some way or another, the laws we changed affects every Canadian. So I think, and I'm hoping before the election, that to get this book out, if nothing else, to make Canadians actually demand more at the polling stations.
Exactly, yeah. Well, continued good luck with this book. As I've said, I've started it. I've gotten through about a quarter of it, and it's very well written. I hope it does well for you, Don.
Well, whether it's me, I didn't write it for me. I wrote it to change a country. So there, I'm hoping to make a difference in my own way to the country I'm so proud of. But I can be prouder, and we need to do it better.
Exactly. Happy Canada Day, Don.
Happy Canada Day to you. Thanks, Joe.
The book is called The Lost Canadians, A Struggle for Citizenship, Rights, Equality, and Identity. It's from Pugwash Press. Its author, Don Chapman, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plantum.